The salvation and redemption was his idea.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And I don't know everybody's background, and I don't know, it never gets old to me hearing that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but see, the whole purpose and reason for it was God's sinless and holy and righteous and perfect. And to be in that presence with him and to fellowship with him, our problems had to be taken away. And aren't you glad that Jesus did that? The Bible says that when he was on the cross, the sins of mankind were laid on him so we could be free. Aren't you glad? That's why we don't come to him based on what we have or haven't done. It's based on what he did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So thank God for salvation and redemption, the plan of salvation. Now we can stand faultless in his presence. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Sin required a sacrifice. It used to be the blood of animals, but that didn't suffice anymore. It was the blood of the sinless and spotless lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ himself. Glory to God. That blood redeemed us. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I don't even know where to go. Let's just start in Mark, I guess, chapter 4. That's always encouraging when the pastor says he has no idea where to go. I mean, aren't you glad you came here? We're just kind of winging it. No, I'm just kidding. I just have so many things rolling around in my heart to say. Passionate about this word and passionate about the Bible. I just love people so much. So much. And I know what can get them into their best life ever, so I get fired up about it and excited about it. So that's why I just care about you. And I hope that you see that. I hope that comes through, you know, that's the reason for this. That's why we're doing this. Amen? To get people blessed and on that plan that God has for them. So let's pray before we get into the Word, make sure what he wants said is said. Father, we love you this morning. We come to you for help, for encouragement, for guidance, for instruction, for revelation. Father, we thank you that you are the life giver. Father, we're just branches, but you're the vine. So apart from you, we can do nothing. So we don't magnify or put the spotlight on a person this morning. We don't put the we don't magnify or spotlight a building or the name of the church that's on the building. We put a spotlight on Jesus in the Word. And we thank you. Because of him, we can be free. Because of him, we can be or live a life of victory. So we give you the praise and glory. And Father, this is how you do things in the New Testament. You give your message to somebody that's anointed to be a shepherd, and then they relay it to your precious people. So Father, do that this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we're looking for utterance from heaven. Lord, like the psalmist of old wrote, he said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And so, Lord, just say what you want said. Do what you want to do, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 18. This is part 2 from last week. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you, get on live stream and listen. I'll do a small review to catch you up. But I couldn't get to part 2 until we had part 1, and I'll explain that in a second. But it says in Mark 4 and verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the Bible here is telling us that there's a word, and we know the word has the ability to do a lot of good things for our life, but that the word can get choked out of people's lives. And it can become unfruitful. That's amazing that the life-changing, powerful word of God can actually be unfruitful in people's life if it's choked out. And I wanted to get, I made a statement 2 Wednesdays ago in service. I said that the most important thing in a person's life is hearing the word of God. And that's a heavy statement because there's a lot of important things in our lives. But what we have to understand, and when I said that, I knew that I had to qualify that statement, and that's what this 2-week series is about, because if that's the truth, which we'll see it in the word, don't take my word for it, then we better cater or maybe reconstruct or reconfigure our lives around that. Yeah. If that's the case, if the Word has the ability to reach into every area of our life, salvation, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, our kids, our bodies, our money, our favor, our protection, if it's based on the Word and hearing the Word and doing what the Word says, if that's the truth, then we better make it a priority. And we better become Word of God-centered and everything else around it, right? And so I said that in that statement, and I wanted to prove that out because that's a heavy thing to say, and my God, don't just listen to what I have to say. What does the Bible have to say? But I wanted to, before we got to that, to show you that. And one of the main reasons that the Spirit of God is to have me to share that He showed me is summer's coming up. And with summer comes distractions, and with summer comes busyness, especially around here when most of the time here, we don't have Southern California weather here. Like San Diego, it's 70 and sunny 99% of the year. We get a short span where we can do things, right? And that God's okay with that. But what God's not okay with is the Word becoming absent in your life, because then you'll struggle. And He loves you. And so with summer coming up and busyness and just wanting people to be blessed generally, the Lord's having us to say these things. And but before I were to say that, I had to go through a step, which was last week, because it's kind of like when we, this Christmas, we bought a popcorn machine for the kids and for me. That was honestly one of those gifts where I was like, I'm benefiting from this more than them. And that's okay. If I can find gifts like that, I mean, that's great, right? I mean, I'm just kidding. But it does benefit me a lot. And so we got a popcorn machine, and I'm not very good at putting things together. Actually, most of our toys that our kids have that are put together are put together by her. I know. I am a severe disappointment to my father-in-law. I always tell him all the time, I'm so sorry your wife married me. Because he's always the one coming over and fixing our cabinets and fixing everything. And I'm sitting there watching him and things. And he's so kind and sweet to me about it and tells me I have other talents and skills. And I'm like, okay, that's what everybody says that's really good at something and somebody's not. They try to make it feel better. And so I'm just like, okay, well, that's great. But so sorry she married me. And but I tried. I wanted to put it together for him. And it looked simple. Didn't even want to look at the directions. It just looked simple. There weren't very many pieces. There's a cart with wheels and a popcorn machine and a few little nuts and bolts to screw in and some rods and things. I thought, I could do this. And I couldn't. Shocking. I was stuck. I didn't know how to get to the end. There was one part I was trying to do that I couldn't do for some reason. It didn't make sense to me. So I looked at the directions and said, oh, I'm missing a very important step here. To get to this step, I needed this step to clear it up for that step. So to say that the Word of God, hearing the Word of God is the most important thing, you also have to understand how God does things. And that's what we talked about last week. That there's a lot of misconceptions in the body of Christ, but we're New Testament believers, so we go by the New Testament. What the Bible says in the New Testament. That's what's written to us. You know, a lot of people will ask me, where do I go to read my Bible? Spend the majority of your time from the book of Romans to the book of Jude. That's the part of the Bible that's specifically written to you. Now, the Old Testament, there's a whole lot in there that's not, it doesn't even pertain to us. It was written to the Jews before Jesus even came. Now, one thing about the Old Testament is we can learn about the characteristics of God. We can learn about things that pleased God. We can learn about things that made God angry because He's the same God. So we can learn a lot about God, and we can learn a lot in the Gospels, a lot of things that are pertinent. But where you want to spend the majority of your time is from the book of Romans to the book of Jude. That's the New Testament revelation that Paul got, that the writers of the New Testament got after Jesus died on the cross. That's for us. That tells us what we can have, how we can live life. Amen? Hopefully that helps people. You'll find in not so much in this Bible because it's pretty much brand new. And most of my Bibles, actually, why I had to get a brand new Bible is because that part of the Bible is falling apart for me. Because that's where I spend the majority of my time. I'm not over in Leviticus spending hours reading the Levitical law. Why? It doesn't apply to me. I'm not even over in Revelation, because I'll tell you what, most of Revelation doesn't apply to you either. Actually, after the third chapter, you're not even hardly mentioned. You're gone off this earth with Jesus. So I spend most of my time what applies to me. And the New Testament tells us how God does things. And it's important to understand how God does things to get to that step, because you need to have a revelation. You need to have a revelation of how important hearing the Word is. Because if you don't have that revelation, you won't structure your life around it. You won't become word-centered. You won't See, because right now, the way it is with a lot of people is God's on the outside, whatever is in the center, and then when God can fit in, see, that's backwards. And let me just qualify this today, because no condemnation, but I do want to say this. If you're okay, and you can be okay with this, and I'm not saying this to be a smart aleck either, or tongue-in-cheek, I mean this. If you're okay with not fulfilling the full potential of what God has for you, of not receiving the full maxed out potential blessing for you, your family, your kids, reaching the potentials for money and all the favor, if you're okay with not getting to that level and not being used fully, now it sounds like I'm being a smart aleck, because, but I'm not. I'm not being cocky or trying to be mean about it. Or if you're okay with not being used to your fullest potential of what God has for you in your life, then don't change your life. Don't structure your life around the Word. Make God like bingo. Make God like a recreational thing that you do. That, well, if I can fit Him in, great. If I can't, well, and if you're okay with not reaching those levels, then you don't need this revelation. But if you're somebody that says, I want to get everything out of God that I can, I want to walk into every blessing to the max that I can for my life. I want my kids to be as blessed as they can. I want my money to be as blessed as it can. I want my body. I want my favor. I want all these things that I put my hand to be the blessed. Then this has to be the center of your life.
Amen. Praise God.
Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, He said, seek first. First is an order. The kingdom of God. And then He said, all these things will then be added unto you. What are all the things He's talking about? Well, if you look, it's the things of life. He's saying, life will take care of itself when God's in the center. That's my point.
Yeah.
We're busy trying to take care of everything else, and God gets pushed aside, and then we're just stressed out and grasping at straws and all these things. No, no, make God the center, and life will take care of itself. So I need to qualify that statement, because there might be people that say, Pastor, I'm just not interested in being used by God. I'm not interested. Now, I do need to tell you this. That's a crazy way to be.
That's right.
You're nuts.
Yeah.
You want to know why you're nuts? I'll tell you.
Yeah,
because you're going to stand before Him someday.
Yeah,
and He's going to say, I had a plan for you, and I died for that. I died for you for that plan. And that plan was not only connected to your blessing and everything that you wanted, right, that you wanted in life and that we're going to bless you, but it was connected to other people. And because you were selfish, you didn't get into it. And He might show you all the people that you were supposed to reach and help and didn't get to. You say, Pastor, you're just trying to scare me. Yes. What's your point? Because it's better to hear it from me than hear it from Him. Yes, I am trying to move you, not from a place of being afraid of God, but yes, there's a plan for my life. What am I doing? What am I doing on earth? Am I just wastefully passing my time away and just waking up and just doing my own thing every single day and life passing by? The wake-up call is going to be when you're face-to-face with Jesus and you figure out, wow, that was my one chance. So let's make the best of it. Amen? Let's make the best of it. But this is important to get this revelation, because if you don't understand how God does things, then this, what I'm saying today, won't mean anything. Because the way God does things in the New Testament, the way God gets you what you need the most in our lives, the number one way that God's going to instruct you and guide you is going to be through your local church and your shepherd.
Amen.
It is. Absolutely. We saw Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, He said He looked at a group of people that didn't have a shepherd or a pastor, and He said, I pity them. He told Peter, feed my sheep. Shepherds are supposed to feed the sheep. Sheep are not meant to be self-feeders. He would have told us, feed yourself, but He didn't. He said, shepherd, feed the sheep. And He said, people are dejected, harassed, bewildered, like sheep without a shepherd, scattered and faint. And so we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, this is just a review, that the Bible says God gave gifts unto the men. One of those gifts was a pastor. And He said that the gift was given for the perfecting of the saints. You can't get perfected to where God wants you to be unless you have a shepherd.
Yes, amen.
You just can't do it. And so it's important to know when I'm talking about structuring your life, what I'm, just to kind of blow the curtain off this thing and to be clear about it, I'm talking about making church and your appointment to hear the Word a priority in your life. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be sneaky about it or at the end say, voila, here it is. No, that's what we're talking about. And see, we needed to show you last week, because people have taken the mentality of, hey, God knows my heart. I don't need to go to church. He knows I love Him and I have my Bible. That's true. He does know you love Him. And He knows that And he knows that he loves you, obviously. It doesn't change his love for you. But if that's the truth, you have your God and your Jesus and your Bible. If you really are in tune with them, you know what they're going to be telling you? Go to church. Get a pastor. Because that's what he's already said. He's already said. He said you can't be perfected without one. You can't live a life apart from being dejected, harassed, bewildered, scattered, and faint without a shepherd. So if you're truly in tune with God, because I didn't say that's the only way you'll hear from God. My goodness, you can be at home praying and hear from God on your own. You don't need your pastor to hear from God. But if you haven't submitted to that revelation, what God is going to tell you, he's not going to start blessing your life apart from the Word of God. If you have put your hand in God's face and said, we've taught Abby now to say, talk to the hand, which I probably shouldn't have done that because it's cute, but now she just thinks it's the best thing in the world to say. But if that's what you've said to God, talk to the hand, God, and he's saying, okay, well, about church and about the Word of God, why would you expect him to start telling you other things when you're first disobeying the Word, which is hurting your life? So we saw that last week, that we need to recognize how he does things. And how he does things is he's raised up somebody in your life, he's done it in my life, that has a gift on their life, to take you to places and get you into things that you can't get to by yourself. My shepherd has brought me into places that I never would have thought I'd ever gone. And he led me in that way. That's what a shepherd does. Takes the sheep places they can't go. My shepherd's got me money that I could never get. My shepherd's got me blessings. My shepherd's got me a family I never would have ever had without my shepherd leading me and guiding me. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we don't magnify a man. Paul said this. He said, I don't magnify myself. I magnify my office. We're not magnifying the man or woman that's in that office, but we do magnify that office. That office is important. And we saw, isn't it just like anything in life? Why do we think spiritually we can do it ourselves, but we don't feel that way when we're playing an instrument? We need a teacher to show us. We don't feel that way when we're learning a sport or dance or whatever, acting. Always people have mentors and people that help them get there. When you start a new job, hopefully you just didn't get thrown in and nobody showed you what to do. Hopefully somebody that knew what they were doing showed you what to do, hopefully. Right? I know there's cases where that doesn't happen. But people going to school to get a degree, they need somebody that knows that information to teach them and get them there. Why do we think spiritually? For some reason, we get this spiritual pride about us, and we think it's wrong to admit the fact that we can't do it on our own. Listen, I have no problem admitting I can't get to where God wants to take me without a man or woman on this earth that has an anointing or a gift. I have no problem admitting that, because when I admit it, I'm in line with the Bible. God's plan always has come through people. Study it from Genesis till now. It's always been through a human being, how he does a plan. And so it's important to find out, well, who's my shepherd? Well, you'll know when you hear him or her talk. It'll be like home. It'll be like, oh, this is where I'm being fed. This is where I'm supposed to be. And you'll know, praise God. God's good. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will bear witness that this is where you are to be. And I'll just say this way, that place that you are is not because they have the best music team. It's not because they have the best children's program. It's not because they have the most ornate looking building. God will never lead you to a place that you're not being fed. It is a utmost importance that you are being fed. Amen? Amen. And that's not me saying that we're the only church that does that. I wouldn't know that anyways if that were the truth or not the truth. I'm guessing that's not the truth, that there are other wonderful places preaching and teaching the Word of God. But God's never going to lead you to a place if you're not getting fed. And he's never expecting you to stay there either. Do you know how many people have sacrificed their spiritual life because they didn't want to leave their friends? They didn't want to leave their family. They're serving in their dead church. They're starving to death. And they're staying there and starving to death. And Jesus told Peter, number one, Peter, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. Jesus' number one importance for Peter was, make sure my sheep are fed. Yeah. Fed the Word of God. Amen? So we saw that. So we can go forward this morning. And the Bible says in Mark 4, let's put that back up in verse 19. It says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and they choke the word. Now let me also qualify this so we don't get into a ditch and you can run out of here and say, boy, my pastor's a meanie. I'm not talking about vacations and I'm not talking about an emergency and I'll just tell you what I am talking about. I'm talking about the attitude and the idea that this place is not center in my life, that hearing the word of God's not center. If you don't have that mentality, listen, I'm going to take vacations. I'm going to have the occasional miss. But those should be the exceptions, not the rule.
That's right.
Right? When you look at your life over a year's time, there should be more given to being in this setting than not being in this setting. And this is where we look at our lives, and going forward, we got to be careful with this, because the Bible, the devil will do things to try to get us this out of our lives. This is where we have to make sure that we're keeping the priorities. Because listen, let me just say it this way. Whatever you sow into, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever's important for you and your family, that's what you're going to get. If everything else besides God is important and you've put that in your time, energy, money, and effort, that's what you're going to reap in life. Well, I just know this for my family and my kids. The house of God and the things of God are number one. Ain't no hobby, ain't no recreation, ain't no nothing. I don't care how much they like it or what. God is number one, and they will reap from that. And it's good for you to start doing that with your family if you already aren't. And I believe we have some wonderful people in here that already are. Hallelujah. So, but now, okay, Pastor, well, you said all that. Now prove it by the Bible. Okay, I will. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. This is awesome.
Amen.
Luke chapter 10. And this is just a good reminder for us. Summer's coming up. Busy, busy, busy. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. It's amazing how Jesus can say something and people will hold their hands up and worship him. But Pastor Mike can say the same thing and people will shoot daggers at him with their eyes, with their attitudes and with their words. Oh, with snarky little things. Don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just delivering the mail. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So he's in Martha's house. And she had a sister called Mary. So Mary's over at Martha's, which also sat, now notice what Mary's doing, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sat down and gave attention to the word that was being sown, right? But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. I mean, the nerve of Mary to sit down while Martha is running around like a chicken with her head cut off in her own home. And Mary's come over to a house that's not even hers, and she has the audacity to sit there when there's stuff to be done. Stuff to be done. Busy, busy, busy. Well, let's see what Jesus thinks about busy, 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 busy. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, where is that darn sister of yours? Get her over here now. I will scope. Mary, get, what are you doing? How dare you sit here to hear the word when there's all this stuff going on? Ladies and gentlemen, there's always going to be stuff going on. There's always going to be stuff vying for your attention. Why? Because we live in a world run by the devil. The natural is not going to lay down and line itself up to make things easy for you to make this place center of your life. It's just not going to happen. There's always going to be stuff. And he said, Martha, Martha. I love it. Didn't they say something in the Brady Bunch like Marsha, Marsha? What happened? She got hit in the nose. What happened to her? I don't know what happened to her. Didn't she get hit in the nose one time, Marsha? Jan hit her? Oh, jealous of her. Okay, that's what it was. Thank you, Mary Jo. She's got the box set at home of the Brady Bunch, the full collection. Martha, Martha, you are careful, now notice this, and troubled about many things. What are they? Distractions. Lots of things going on. I'm not up here to tell you, well, first of all, let me just say this way. I'm a human being. I know maybe it doesn't seem like that sometimes, like people just think, he just must be a robot. No, I'm a human. I still have, in fact, I'm a human with a family and two churches in an hour away in one and 45 minutes away from another. I know what it's like to be busy. I know what it's like to have distractions. Hallelujah. So I'm not standing up here from a place of saying, well, I just don't understand how it could be hard for people. No, I get it. We're busy. We have things to do, and life goes on. But Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Now notice what Jesus said. Now don't miss this. But one thing, say one thing. One thing is needful. He said, there's a lot going on. He said, but there's only one thing that you need. So I guess when Pastor Mike stands up here and says the most important thing in your life, whether you know it or not, is making sure you hear the word, I guess I'm not wrong.
That's right.
Amen? So when I say that and you start in your little attitude voice, well, you don't know about my job and you don't know about what I got going on, take it up with the master because I'm just plagiarizing what he said. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God. Take it up with him. Don't complain to me. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. And it shall not be taken away from her. He sets the story straight of what's important, the distractions or the busyness, or making sure, well, what was Mary doing? Sitting down, hearing the word from her shepherd. Yeah. Hallelujah. One thing is needful. One of my greatest trials of the hunting life that's been finally solved for me has been finding the appropriate cold weather gear. In fact, Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy make fun of me. Pastor Tim's the pastor of the Jamestown Church, and Reverend Randy serves under him there. They make fun of me for how many different systems I have gone through to try to find out how to stay warm. I get really cold easy out in the tree stand. And when I started hunting with these guys from Ohio, these Amish friends of mine, they hunt a whole different way than I've ever hunted. They go an hour before it's dark, and they get out of the stand when it's dark. They sit there all day, and I've only done that a couple times in my life prior to meeting them. Well, sometimes you go and it's like 10 degrees out, 20 degrees out, and you're sitting there all day long. So for the first year, I had had stuff that wouldn't let me stay there that long. So I go there, and I'm wearing this stuff, and I'm absolutely frozen. I have to get out of my tree stand and go sit in the truck, which doesn't help me because I can't get a deer in the truck. And so I was searching. I bought these. There's a company out west in Colorado that does this homemade like fleece and wool stuff, these big bibs and this big parka. I got that. Didn't help me. After a couple hours, didn't matter how much layering I did. And then you ever seen the movie? Well, you probably have on Christmas Day. What's that one that runs 24 hours straight, The Christmas Story? There's that kid in the snowsuit that's like this. That's me in my tree stand before, but I was layered up. I was so layered up that I wouldn't even know how to shoot my bow. I'm serious. I can't even move. I'm uncomfortable. My neck's getting sore. Can't even see a deer. That's what I looked like. That's not good. But then I found something. It's called the heater bodysuit. And the heater bodysuit, what that is, you ever notice how if you wear gloves with fingers in all your gloves, they get colder than if you wear a mitten where it's covering your whole hand and your whole hand's in there. If you've ever noticed that, try that in the winter. It's so much warmer to have a mitten on than gloves that have fingers in all of them. Well, that's the concept of the heater bodysuit. It's this high-tech sleeping bag type system that rolls up. It does have legs in it, but they've put so much insulation. But the rest of it is just legs. And then it comes up, and it wraps around you with no arms. And it's got a zipper, and you fit in it real good in there. You can close you right in that thing. And it doesn't matter how cold it gets, I don't get cold in that thing. And I don't even have to wear, all I wear maybe is a long sleeve shirt and maybe a shirt over that and a pair of pants without even them long johns on. And I can sit in that thing all day long and be toasty warm. And I sit in that thing, and when a deer comes, all you do, it's got a quiet zipper, you zip it, and it falls off your shoulders with harnesses. It's the sweetest and awesomest thing ever. Now, here I was going for all these different things, all that you should see my totes at home for my hunting clothes, stuff that's going to sit there and not be used. Well, I will use it on days when it's not as cold and I don't need to sit there all day, so I will use it. But and all that stuff, but you know what I found out? I only need one of those things. If I have the one thing, if I have the heater bodysuit, that's all I need for cold weather hunting. That is really, to the point, all I need. That is the one thing that keeps me warm. And Jesus is telling Martha, there's one thing that you need in your life, and you got your priorities wrong, girl. That's what he said. Mary's got it right. Yes, there's stuff going on. But see, you don't understand. Here's my point. The way God gets to you, what you need to hear, is right now. Think about that lady that came to Olean last night. She got direction for her life that she never had before or wouldn't have had after until she came where God was talking. And we know, how many times have you been in these services where God said something through me to you that changed the course of your life. All the time it happens. It happens all the time because that's the way God does things. He gives us direction for our life. He might even say something small. It might be something huge, but he's always saying something to help us. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. He sets it up that way. And if we don't have last week's revelation, we won't understand the importance of this place. Now, let me say this. If your pastor has it on his heart to have service on the midweek, there's a reason. I don't do it for my benefit. I do it to be obedient to God and for the sheep's benefit. So what am I saying is, why then on Wednesdays? Now, if you don't come to Wednesdays, listen, I don't know your work schedule. I'm not saying things like that, but there's no excuse now with live stream. It's not if you come at it from the standpoint of pastor's beating me up and mad at me. No, I'm coming from the standpoint of you need to hear what God's saying to you because he's saying things to you on Wednesday as well. Yeah. Because if your pastor has it on his heart, it's because God told me to have a service in the midweek. Well, that means he's going to say to the people of this church things they need to hear. But if that's how he does things, we can't expect to be on the outside. And if you can't be here, make it a point to catch up on that service because you don't want to miss what God's saying to you to help you get to the next place. There's never any condemnation. You know, if you haven't been here for a while or whatever, when you come back, you don't get me yelling at you or mad at you or looking. I just love to see you. Praise God, right? And there's no condemnation. This is things you have to work out between you and God. This is not something we're checking up on people and giving you a hard time. No, I'm just trying to tell you which way is the best way to go, and then you follow it. Glory to God. But it's important to recognize that God is speaking on Wednesday nights here. That God is speaking on Sunday mornings here. Who's he speaking to? The sheep of this sheepfold. He's giving the message. And you might don't start thinking you're more special than God's way of doing things. What do I mean by that? People say, well, I can miss and still get all that God has for me. How can you think that when he's telling you things for your life? For example, I've had people, nobody in here, this isn't story, isn't about somebody in here. I don't do that, by the way, talk about people when they're here and mention people's names and things like that. That's just not how we do things. We might bring up stories at times, but never in a place that's going to make somebody, you know, feel bad about themselves. That's not the goal of how to do it. But anyways, I've had people say to me, Pastor, this is going on in my life. And I'll say, well, that's interesting because God just shared a 5-week sermon on it and you weren't here to hear it. That was your help. I had somebody just this week tell me, I'm getting ready to go through something, and you just preached about what I'm getting ready to go through 2 weeks ago. The Holy Ghost is so wonderful. Yes, that's how he does things. He tells you what you need to hear, praise God, and then you put it to play in your life, and that's how you get by. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we have an awesome, faithful group here. And listen, how about this? Why can't we think about this? Well, Pastor, I can't be here on a Wednesday. Or I can't be here every Sunday because of my work requirements. Why is it a problem to start putting some faith into our life? If the Word is the most important thing, just so you know, the Word does trump your job. Doesn't mean you'd leave your job to come hear the Word. I'm not saying that. But why can't we use our faith to say, Father, I want to be where you're talking to me. I'm praying and believing for you to change up my schedule. You say, well, you don't know my work. Listen, we're talking about God. He's supernatural. Amen. If you want to hear the Word and want to be here or Sunday morning, pray and ask him. I'm not telling anybody leave your job to come here and hear the Word and put your family in jeopardy. What I am saying is put your faith towards being able to be in a place to hear the Word of God, to be able to be here, to hear what God is saying, and just use your faith. Now, you might have to put a little work and effort towards it, but praise God, it's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. But let's take this a step further. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 5. To show you further why I'm saying this to you. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Well, if you don't know, he's going to tell you. Ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So Paul and Apollos were ministers. What do ministers do? They preach the Bible. They preach the Word. They sow the Word. They hear from heaven and say what heaven... When I'm preparing a message, I'm not any, mini, miny, mowing through the Bible. I'm not going down through a list of old sermons and just saying, well, let's do this. We haven't done this in a while. No. Father, what do the people need to hear? What are they going through that they need to hear right now? What are they going through? Tell me what to say, and then we say it, praise God. So he says they're ministers as God has given to every man. Verse 6 says, I have planted. Now, we know he's not talking about the garden. He's talking about people sowing the word. He said, I planted, and you say, how do we know he's talking about the word? Because the verses before, he talks about not being able to speak the word that he wants to in these people's lives, that he has to talk to them like they're babies still. So he's talking about the word. So when he says, I have planted, he's talking about planting the word. Do you know that's what's going on right now? The word's getting planted in your life. That's what's happening. He said, I have planted. He said, Apollos watered what I planted. He said, but God gave the increase. So we always give God the praise. We're not praising the pastor for doing what the pastor's supposed to do. I'm not looking to be glorified and to be magnified and to be applauded and given all this accolades for doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God is the one. Now we're thankful for faithful people. Just like I'm thankful for faithful people, and I hope you're thankful for my faithfulness. But God is the one we praise. God is the one we exalt and magnify, and we're in awe of our God. He's the one that gives the increase. But notice this. With no Paul and no Apollos, there's no increase. God gave the increase. What's he talking about? The increase in people's lives. That seed in their heart coming to pass and their life looking like the Word of God. It didn't happen until a sowing, a watering, a planting took place. Then there was increase. Do you see how it works here? The minister's job is to sow or water the word. Actually, go down to verse 9. It says, for we are laborers together with God, for you are God's husbandry. What in the world does that mean? That means God's field. God's garden. You are God's garden. You are God's field. That he's going to work the ground, plant things in the ground, water that ground so he can see a harvest. That's what the word's talking about. So he's saying back in verse 6, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. The minister's job is to hear from heaven, sow that to you, right? So then you get watered and then you increase. If you take away your watering and you take away your planting, you're taking away your increase. Yeah, that's right. This is how God does it in the New Testament. He raises up men and women with an anointing, with an office of a shepherd, gives them a flock to feed them. The certain sheep recognize who their shepherd is, then you get faithful to be watered. You don't want to be a sheep that goes on a hunger strike. Think about a natural flock of sheep. At what is this? This is when we ring the dinner bell spiritually, and y'all come flocking in to get your dinner, right? That's what this is happening. Well, think about that in the natural realm. When a shepherd ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, or come and get it, sheep, and one stands off in the corner, doesn't show up for feeding time, over and over and over. What happens to that sheep? Weak. Sick, gets hurt, is more vulnerable, right? Absolutely. Well, that's what he's saying here. For increase to happen, we have to be in a position of planting and watering. That's why Psalm 92 in verse 13 says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord, not at home in their arrogance and in their pride and with their Bible and their noses to the system, bucking the system. He said, no, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Why? Because in the house of the Lord is where the planting's going on, where the watering's going on. You are not equipped to feed yourself, and you are not equipped to water yourself. Just like I'm not equipped to feed and water myself, I have a shepherd that does that for me. Praise God. It's true. It's the truth. I remember one time, my parents were divorced on the weekends, I'd stay with my dad, and he lived with, his mom took care of her, she was older. And grandma went away one time, and she told me and dad to feed the plants and the flowers, water them. Well, We were bachelors that weekend, just doing our own thing, and that was the last thing on our minds. Probably filled with sports and potato chips is what it really was, if I was to be honest. And Grandma went away for a while, and nothing got watered. Nothing got put the shades, you know, where it needs sun and different things. And Grandma came home to a house full of dead flowers and plants. Why? Take away the watering, you take away the life. Take away the watering. That's why I need people to get the revelation. This is where my help is coming from. This is where my help is coming from. This is how it happens. And even more so as we go into summer, and I wanted to bring out Mary and Martha, and we're closing here, because people get mad, they get staunch in their positions, and they say, but you don't understand my life. I don't have to understand your life, because Jesus already said busyness is not an excuse to not get fed. Busyness is not an excuse to not get watered. That's why I said at the beginning, if you want to get scorched, if you want to dry up, if you don't want to get all that God has for you, don't do it this way then. You can do that. God will let you do whatever you want. Isn't that amazing? He'll let you starve if you want to starve. He'll let you go without your spiritual help. But why would we want to do that? I ran into a young girl, well, she's in her mid-20s, so that's young, but I mean, it's not, she wasn't like 10 or anything, but anyways, ran into her at a workplace. Place of employment that she works, and we ran into her. And Pastor Tim is always talking about her and how much of a blessing she is and how much she keeps increasing. Always he's talking about, and I'll ask him about people in his church, how they're doing. And whenever this girl comes up, it's just promotion in her job, favor in her life, all these things. Well, doesn't the Bible say they that be planted in the house of the Lord? We pull that up, Psalm 92:13, so people can see that. Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Well, this girl is flourishing in every area of life. I'm talking favor in her church, favor in her job, favor with her bosses, favor in money. I mean, every time we see her, she's got this huge smile on her face telling us about, you got to know what God did for me this time. What did God do for me? We're like excited to bump into her and see her. Well, I found out why. She said, Pastor Mike, as a pastor, I need to ask you something. She said, my job wants to send me away for a training. And this training is going to cause me to obviously know more, but it's going to put me in a different level in the department I'm in, which is going to eventually lead to more money, which will eventually lead to more blessing for her, right? And she said to me, like, that's great. That's exciting. She said, now get this. They that be planted, listen to her attitude. She said, but Pastor Mike, I have to miss one Wednesday night. That's her attitude. And I'm looking at her, and I'm just like getting ready to just be so sweet to just like laugh at her, you know, because in her mind, she's planted. She knows God's talking to me. She's like, but I got to miss one Wednesday night. I said, can we clone you? Would that be all right if we cloned you? And she's looking at me all weird. I'm like, go to your training. I said, email your pastor if you want, but he's going to tell you, go to your training. You're exactly what the churches need. And I know we have people like that here. I'm not saying that she's better than you. I'm just saying I found out why her attitude was, I don't even want to miss a Wednesday. I don't ever want to miss. And again, we don't get religious on this, and we don't get into works that, oh God, if I miss a service, I'm going to hell and the world's going to crash on me. No, I'm talking about that mentality that you know this place is the most important thing in your life, and you're going to do everything you can to make this where you're at and everything else be the exception. That number one is the house of God. Number one's getting watered. Number one. And I loved it. I said, now I know. You're always getting watered. You're always hearing from heaven. The things you're doing wrong, the preacher's saying something and you're making adjustments. So then you're not doing wrong anymore. You're hearing how to live by faith. You're getting built up. It's like, my God. And I could have people come up here right now and testify the same things in their life. That since they plugged in and planted, oh, how things in their life have changed. It's not a magical mystery, ladies and gentlemen. I tell people all the time, if you'll dive in with God and get faithful, your life won't even look the same. You'll wonder, how did this even happen? God's doing all this for my family, my kids, my money, everything. It's true. Hallelujah. And I just, And it was so awesome as we ran into her this week and found that out. And I'd already preached last week's sermon and knew I was preaching this week's sermon. And God had me run into her for this sermon to bring that out. And I just thought I was amazed. I can't wait to go back and tell Pastor Tim. And I already knew she was super faithful, but I didn't know it was to that level. And it wasn't because she was afraid if I miss, God's going to be mad at me and my pastor. No, it was, I don't want to miss church because that's where I hear from heaven. It was awesome. And so, praise God. So I just encourage you as we go forward, just make an effort, right? Just do a little something a little different. Recognize, meditate on this stuff. Don't just take my word for it. Get it in your heart that, wow, my family, everything in my life depends on me being watered by the word of God and hearing God's word for my life. And make adjustments. And don't let summer and don't let busyness and don't let recreation and hobbies and all these things pull you out of your appointments from God more than being in your appointments with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you're so faithful and so kind to us. Lord, you love us. No matter if we're faithful or not faithful, you love us. We know that. Whether we're casual with you or not casual with you, you love us. Father, whether we're you know, just one foot in, one foot out, you love us. So, Father, we're not talking about that or beating anybody over the head. We're just always trying to raise people up to a higher level. And they won't regret it. Anytime they go further with you, Father, Lord, it's not one thing that's ever to be regretted. So thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for helping us. You're so kind to us, so loving to us. You make it clear to us and show us how you do things and what we need to do. You don't leave us in the dark. We're so thankful for that. And Father, I just lift up every single person in this place. And Father, I pray that you would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Father, they need to know these things. They need to see it clearly in their heart. It's one thing to just mentally agree with it. It's one thing to just let it go in your ear and out the other ear. But Father, it's another thing to act upon the truths that are being taught here. In fact, Father, you said in your word that the sower sows the word, and four people, different kinds of people, hear the word, and only one out of the four actually do the word. So, Father, I pray that we wouldn't have a one-fourth in this building, but Father, that we would be the one-fourth of the whole body of Christ, that we would all fall into that one-fourth of doing the word, hearing the word, making the house of God a priority, making watering time a priority, making feeding time a priority spiritually. And Father, I just thank you that you're talking to hearts and you're trying to bring people up higher. You're never trying to hold us back or to hold us down. Thank you for your mercy. You're so kind. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, maybe you already are, but to keep in that position, please. You know, we talked about having a shepherd and how God waters you. That's awesome, and that is how he does things. But the best thing that could ever happen to a person would be to accept Jesus into their heart. That way you get into the family of God, and then you can start to be watered and start to increase, start to have your life changed and blessed. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself this question. This will locate you. And if you're listening by live stream or on an archive in the future, ask yourself the same question. If today was my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. And if the answer isn't a 1,000,000% yes, I want to help you this morning. Because the most peaceful thing for me at night is laying my head down on my pillow knowing I'm going to heaven. That no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to heaven with Jesus. I'm free. Praise God. He gave it to me. He saved me. I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to die because there's things to do here and I want to still enjoy my family. But I'm not afraid for that day when it comes. Oh, that's my homecoming. That's my reward. Never feel bad for the Christian that dies. Oh, man, that's their blessing. So I'm not afraid of that day. And the reason I'm not afraid of that day is because I've acted on the Bible. You might be here listening and say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm qualified. Well, the qualifications for heaven are this, that you believe in Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever believes in him would not perish. So if you believe in Jesus, if you believe he died and rose again, you're qualified. And then the last thing you have to do is to call on his name. Well, I'm not going to have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you're here and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I thought going to church got me in, or I thought being a good person. No, it's what you do with Jesus. If you can say, Pastor, I don't think I've ever received Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus for once and for all in your life? Anybody here at all? I don't know every single person in their background. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that we are all saved, born again, walking with you. But Father, if by chance there's somebody in this room or listening by live stream or on an archive in the future, they've never received you, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. You just simply cry out to him. Say, Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget Easter Sunday, next Sunday. Don't forget the building is unlocked. If you have kids, please keep them by your side as you go through that building. But go check that out. Sure love you to see it. And don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, God's going to be talking here. Amen. About your life. You're dismissed. Praise God.